The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
All aboard!
We have the statement that John Elway put out regarding the Brian Flores situation, and now the Giants have responded. And this is a bit lengthy, so hang in there. This is from the New York Giants. Brian Flores has raised serious issues in the filing of his complaint. The specific claims against the Giants and Mr. Flores' allegations about the legitimacy of his candidacy for our head coaching position are disturbing and simply false. Just a note here, Tyler, as I read through this. Every single person who has responded has been just vehement about about how false the allegations are. Right. Like, there's no
no room for error here. We didn't do anything kind of wrong. No, it's false. That is what they're saying.
They go on, the Giants. After we interviewed six exceptional and diverse candidates, the decision on who we would hire as head coach was made on the evening of January 28th, one day after Mr. Flores spent an entire day in our offices going through his second interview for the position, meeting with ownership and other staff members, and receiving a tour of our facility. See the itinerary below. There is additional concrete and objective evidence to substantiate we did not make our decision until the evening of the 28th. Here comes Bill Belichick. The allegation that the Giants' decision had been made prior to January 28th is false. And to base that allegation on a text exchange with Bill Belichick, in which he ultimately states that he, quote, thinks Brian Daboll would get the job, is irresponsible. The text exchange occurred the day before Coach Daboll's in-person interview even took place. Giants ownership would never hire a head coach based only on a 20-minute Zoom interview, which is all that Mr. Daboll had at that point. In addition, Mr. Belichick does not speak for and has no affiliation with the Giants. Mr. Belichick's text exchange provides no insight into what actually transpired during our head coaching search. And then it just goes on and details more of the interview process and how they highly regarded Flores. And then it cites the interview he had on CBS. In a CBS interview, Mr. Flores was asked, quote, if clubs have the right to hire the person they think is the best qualified for the job or the person they feel is right for them. Mr. Flores responds, they do. That's very reasonable to me. That is exactly what we did. And then they talked about hiring Daboll. And then they list the itinerary. 8:45, arrival at Quest, Joe Shane. 9 a.m., met with John Mara, Chris Mara, Steve Tisch, Joe Shane. 12 p.m., lunch, facility tour, Tim McDonald. 1 p.m., Pat Hanlon, Jen Escalante, Dion Darjan. 1:45, Ronnie Barness, Jesse Armstead. 2:30, Allison Strangeby, Pete Guelli. 3:30 p.m., Joe Shane. And that does look like probably a typical, you know, you come into the building and you meet with everybody and you don't stay with the same person necessarily the whole time. You meet a variety of people.
Well, it's a long day. Through. It's a long day, right? So it's hard to say that was like some sort of Passover interview. I mean, he was certainly in the building a long time. But here's the deal, man. I've got no doubt in my mind that Bill Belichick had relatively good information that Brian Daboll is going to be the head coach of the New York Giants. No doubt in my mind. Now, does that prove anything? Of course not. Of course not. I mean, look, Bill Belichick knows a lot of people, and he's not going to send out that text message to Brian Daboll if he doesn't think that he's right. I mean, especially the way that he wrote it. He said congratulations on the Giants job. So Bill Belichick probably had the right information. I'm sure that the Giants had Brian Daboll circled as he's our number one candidate, as every team does when these processes begin. We assumed it was Dan Quinn here in Denver. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we were right. I don't know. But every team goes into it with a predetermined guy that's probably the most likely to get the job. So what does that mean, though? Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. I don't know how Brian Flores can prove that Bill Belichick had information without a doubt that he knew that they were going to get the job, nor can it prove that the Giants didn't take the process serious. So, I mean, what I'm saying is it all can be true. I do believe that Belichick had good information. I also think that it means absolutely nothing in a court of law.
Yeah, it's and here's the Giants, what they're doing, obviously, say, hey, man, we took this as seriously as anything. He had a shot at this just like anybody did. And here's how we're proving it.
Well, it's a long day. I mean, it's not like they just brought him in and they're like, hey, nice to meet you. Get out of here. No, I mean, they spent the full day with him.
Meanwhile, John Elway, his statement from earlier today: while I was not planning to respond publicly to the false and defamatory claims of Brian Flores, I could not be silent any longer with my character, integrity, and professionalism being attacked. I took Coach Flores very seriously as a candidate for a head coaching position in 2019 and enjoyed our 3.5-hour interview with him. Along with the rest of the group, I was prepared, ready, and fully engaged during the entire interview as Brian shared his experience and vision for our team. It's unfortunate and shocking to learn for the first time this week that Brian felt differently about our interview with him. For Brian to make an assumption about my appearance and state of mind early that morning was subjective, hurtful, and just plain wrong. If I appeared disheveled, as he claimed, it was because we had flown in during the middle of the night, immediately following another interview in Denver, and were going on a few hours of sleep to meet the only window provided to us. I interviewed Brian in good faith, giving him the same consideration and opportunity as every other candidate for our head coaching position in 2019. Mike Kliss goes through the timeline of interviews, and it was Thursday with Zach Taylor in L.A. It was Friday with Mike Munchak in the building with a day similar to what it looks like Flores went through with the Giants that particular day.
Yeah.
Then the Broncos flew out. Joe Ellis there's a medical issue with his mom. He had a chance to go see her before the interview, so he left a little bit early. He goes out to Boston to see his mom. He drives down the next day. The rest of the interviewing committee flew out at night and arrived early in the morning of Saturday. And then they met at 7:30 because that was the window the Patriots had provided that they could meet with Brian Flores. So, John, just I know that there were people that just didn't want the Broncos to respond at all. And I'm just going to guess John was just, you know, it had it. And
I would have responded.
Went out.
I mean, just plain and simple, if I'm John Elway, I would have responded because I do think that if you don't respond, it sort of makes you look guilty of something. I mean, it's like, well, what are you hiding from? Why aren't you responding to this? I 100% I would have responded if I was John Elway. You know, maybe somebody drank too much the night before. I don't know. Maybe that's possible. I don't know. And if somebody did, I don't know who the specific person would have been. But if somebody drank too much the night before, again, I don't know what that proves other than somebody didn't take their job responsibly. But John Elway, I mean, I'm going to assume that John Elway's putting out that statement because he believes that that's just defiantly wrong. So if I'm John Elway and my truth is that, hey, man, I was tired. I showed up on time. I treated it with all the same respect I do the other candidates. Well, I'm going to put out a statement that I'm going to call Brian Flores a liar. And that's basically what John Elway did without using the word liar. I think I would have been even more aggressive. Honestly, if my personal integrity was on the line and somebody came after me with something like that, if it was not true, 100% I would have responded. And 100% I would have called the person a liar.
In the lawsuit, the lawyers and Brian Flores put a claim out that had very damaging and aggressive and defiant claims against the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Broncos. All three of those organizations now have defiantly, aggressively shot back.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? Just for a second. Also, it has ignited a national conversation about the hiring practices of the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Well,
what's next?
I think everybody would agree that Brian Flores is fighting a worthy fight that is worthy of talking about the issue at hand here. The Rooney Rule is not working. You're not getting more coaches hired because of the rule. So that's the essence behind it all. And so people understand the fight that he's trying to fight. But then you look at the specifics of the allegations and you realize, well, they're really pretty weak in terms of a lawsuit. So the only thing that seems to have any legs, in my opinion, and I'm definitely not a lawyer here, nor am I taking a side, I'm just looking at the evidence that's out there. The only thing that seems to have any legs, hey, do we have a systemic problem with teams tanking? Do we have a problem with owners paying off coaches? I mean, and how deep does that go? Does that go to bookies? Does that go to gambling? I mean, does that go? Where does that go? That, to me, feels like the only thing that is left in all of this for the NFL to tangibly chase down. Because keep in mind who the NFL works for. The NFL works for the Mara family. The NFL works for the Bolin family. The NFL works for Bill Belichick or for the Kraft family. That's who they work for. So they're going to defend that defiantly. They're very, very powerful. It's 32 billionaires that got the best lawyers in the world. Mm-hmm. And my gut is that it's all going to focus in on if the Dolphins actually did offer him $100,000 to tank.
Okay. We shall see. And that's latest with what's been a bombshell of a case and a conversation that has surprised and angered and started a dialogue that is disruptive for sure. And we'll see where it goes. You know, I was talking with Chad Brown off
the
air.
By the way, Flores can still win without winning the lawsuit. Like, I do think that what he's done right now is going to bring attention to the Rooney Rule. Whether he wins some sort of lawsuit or not, teams are going to have to change the way they approach this thing because they don't want to be the next team that ends up in some sort of lawsuit. So, you know, whether he wins on paper or not, he is bringing awareness to the situation at hand.
Yeah. You know, where do head coaches essentially, for the most part, come from? For the most part, they come from coordinators, defensive coordinators or offense. Not all the time.
Usually.
But usually.
Sure.
Where do offensive and defensive coordinators come from? Well, we're seeing it right now, aren't we? Like, the offense coordinator for the Broncos was a tight end.
They come from your buddies. I mean, that's where they come from. Seriously.
Okay, sure.
That's how you become a coordinator. You're a young guy that gets in with a successful friend. You know Kyle Shanahan, and all of a sudden you hang on to him because eventually he's going to get a job. And when he gets a job, he's going to give you a job. That's the way it works.
You're Nathaniel Hackett and your buddies with Justin Outen, who's the tight ends coach. And now you're an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
How do you become a positional coach?
Well, same deal.
You usually are an assistant at a certain level.
That's why I always say it's all about relationships. And that's why I always say, and like in my particular case, people ask me all the time, am I ever going to get into coaching? Well, I've had a couple cracks at it. As a matter of fact, I've had three opportunities to coach in the NFL, and it's been very, very hard to turn it down. And every time I turn it down, it becomes much more unlikely that I'll ever have another chance at it because my friends right now are head coaches. My friends right now are offensive coordinators.
At your age, you'd be wildly behind other people at your same age that have put that time in.
Not only that, but I've got a crack at it right now because I've got friends. But eventually, my friends are going to lose jobs. Eventually, my friends are going to get fired. And if I were to try to get into the NFL at 45 instead of 36, well, I might only have one friend left that has still got a position of power. So, you know, these things go away based off your relationships.
Now, how do you somehow level the playing field for guys who have actually played in the NFL? It's tricky. I mean, there are certain...
That one's an interesting one. I think you earned that right through your playing career. Coaches determined while you're a player whether they would ever want to have you as a coach or not. Because if you're just the type of guy that's got the God-given talent, but you don't ever show up for film, you don't show up for the extra stuff, well, coaches know you're a ridiculous athlete. You're my starting left tackle as long as you're playing. But I never saw you grind the way that we grind. You know, Mike Shanahan told me when I was a young player that if I ever wanted to coach the NFL, that he'd probably have a spot for me because he said that I'm the type of player that I had to earn everything. Nothing was given to me. I had to show up early. I had to stay late. I didn't have the athletic ability that my peers had. And so he did trust me. But I do think that the player conversation is an interesting one because you develop your reputation as a player. And if you develop a reputation where you're a grinder, I think you will have an opportunity to coach.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's evidence like Keith Burns, for example, was looked at as a coach while he was even a player. And he certainly started off on that path.
Was he a player coach? Like,
I think he
technically used to have a few of those.
Really? I think Burnsy was for at least 1 year. Because I seem to have a memory that he was actually like working out, and we would hear about him going to meetings. Like he was.
I thought there was a DB that was a player coach for Shanahan. Someone on the text line, help me out here.
Okay, I think Burns had that designation.
Was Burns
too.
Also okay?
I don't know. That's pretty rare, though. I mean,
nowadays it's unheard of.
Yeah. Gerard Mayo with Bill Belichick. He was doing like management. He was out of football. And, Belichick just thought so highly of him. He, you know, said, no, you got to come do this. And he did. So there's plenty of examples. The only thing I can think of is if you want to provide a pathway for people to do anything is, you know, you've got to slant things a little bit towards their side in order for that to happen. So my thinking, and I was talking with Chad about this, what if offense, defense, special teams, you got like 20 coaches out there. What if one of the requirements for a couple of the coaching spots where you had to have X amount of years of NFL experience, and that way more players would have to be hired by NFL teams, increasing the odds that, you know, you would just inherently have more opportunity for guys to become assistant position coaches, coordinators, and coaches.
I hear what you're saying. I guess fundamentally, I'm not a fan of creating guidelines of who should be hired. I think that the right person should be hired.
Happens in business all the time.
You know, when you start doing stuff like that, it's like, oh, man, like, so we got to fill a job. We just got to fill this job.
Well, if you apply for any job, they ask for, you know, 3 to 5 years of experience previously. That's not uncommon.
I know, but I don't know that playing experience translates to coaching experience. Like, you know it. I think there's guys that prove it while they're playing, for sure. But just because a guy played in the NFL for 3 years, look, Trent Williams, like, the dude is the best tackle I ever played with. And I will never say a bad thing about Trent Williams, but he didn't have to study like I did. He didn't show up at 6:30 in the morning to study film like I did. He'd walk into the meetings the second that meeting would start, and he'd be out of the building the second the meeting was over.
But how else do you get guys in the pipeline then, Tyler?
I'm not smart enough to answer that. I mean, and I'm not afraid to say that. I don't have the answers, but I do think that when you start putting requirements on there, it almost sometimes makes it so that the right guy does not get the job.
Well, I'm not saying all the assistant coaches have that. I'm just saying a couple, you know, of a 20-man coaching roster, maybe two or three require that, and you could, you know, you don't have to have it. There'd be plenty of other ways to do it. I just, you know, if we all say, hey, this isn't really not working, what other ways is there to work? And all I can see is you just need a way. I see guys that play sports all the time that they're done playing sports, and now they have to compete with other people that haven't been playing sports. They've been working on a profession, and it's, I see it in college all the time. I just spent 4 or 5 years being a college athlete. Well, that is a full-time, time-consuming job.
Sure.
And you are now officially 4 or 5 years, theoretically, if you go into the business world, behind somebody who at age 18 started interning and working and doing all this, and you're back to where they started 5 years ago, and now you're 23, and at their 23, they're miles ahead of you.
Yeah, no. I mean, I totally hear what you're saying. I mean, I say this all the time. You know, some people spend 6-7 years in school to become to get a PhD or to become a doctor. You know, I've got a PhD in football. That's what I've got a PhD in. And I spent my entire career in football. I don't know that I'm seriously like is. I think relatively well of myself. I think I'm a relatively smart dude. I think I could succeed in a lot of areas, but quite frankly, my qualifications on paper do not exist for a lot of jobs in this world because I've got a PhD in football. So I know what you're saying. Like, experience should create a good candidate.
All right, well, we'll see where it all goes, but that was the revelations of day. John Elway shot off a statement, and so did the Giants, and so did Stephen Ross. So what's next? We'll see. But if you got a question for Tyler, Mount Palumbus Speak, well, that is directly what's next on The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
I got a bunch, but I don't actually have a name on this, although it's a great question. Mount Palumbus Speak is presented by Plumb Line Services. Turn to the experts you trust. So let me do this, and then I got a bunch of other ones. Hey, Tyler, what do you think it would take for the Broncos to be featured on HBO's Hard Knocks?
Mount Palumbus. Speed!
Actually, before I answer that, help me out here. When is that announced? Who is on Hard Knocks?
I'm not sure.
Because that matters for sure. I mean, I don't know when it's officially announced. I mean, what do they need to do? Well, they've already got a few qualifiers. They got a new coach. They were not in the playoffs, so they are eligible. If you get you draft a quarterback in top nine, okay, you're going to get them. If you get Aaron Rodgers, you will get Hard Knocks. I guarantee you. If Aaron Rodgers comes to this team, you've got a brand new coach. You weren't in the playoffs. You will be on Hard Knocks. It would be the most interesting story in the NFL, without a doubt.
All right, there's a little qualifier here.
All right.
Teams with a first-year head coach, and, well, it's not that you can't do it. You can't be made to do it.
Okay, you have to be willing.
You'd have to be willing to do it, and you could do it, but you can't be forced to do it because nobody wanted to do it, so the NFL has had to in the past force teams to be on Hard Knocks.
So what are the rules that qualify you? So you weren't in the playoffs last year, last 2 years. So last two seasons, you couldn't have been in the playoffs. I thought the head coach, but I got that one backwards, I guess. That makes sense. You don't want to make a new head coach go through
now,
that.
Let me just read it for you. The NFL criteria. Teams with a first-year head coach and those that made the playoffs at least one of the last 2 years can't be forced to be on the show. Teams who have been on the show in the last 10 years also can't be forced to be on the show. The Broncos have never been on Hard Knocks.
Well, we won't be. I mean, the new owner would probably love it, but the new owner won't be here in time to make that decision.
True.
I tell you who will hate it. George Payton would hate it. Tell you who will hate it. Nathaniel Hackett will hate it.
All the coaches. Sure?
100%, I'm sure.
Nathaniel Hackett?
Yes, 100%.
I don't know. He seemed pretty on behind the Broncos. He seemed buddy. Pretty open to throwing out his album collection.
I'm not throwing my weight around here, but if you know football, coaches do not want distractions, especially during training camp. Mm-hmm. I mean, coaches do not want that type of distraction. So no coach would willingly sign up for that. They got to be forced into it. A new owner might force you, but the new owner's not going to be here in time.
No coach? No coach should be interested?
No.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to eat a snack.
You think Rex Ryan? You're out of your mind.
I think he loved it.
Oh, come on.
I think D-back. Gruden loved it.
D-back, these guys do not
love I
that.
Think Jerry Jones, he's not a coach, but Jerry Jones loved being on Hard Knocks.
Oh, he's an owner. That's a different story.
I think Brian Billick loved it.
Every owner would love to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Now, look, once it's there, I'm not going to say that people don't go out of their way to make themselves look good. Of course, the camera's in the building. I want to be funny. I want people to like me. I'm gonna go out of my way. Hey, knock three times if you're with me. Sure.
the rule is they can't be forced. You could volunteer. If the Broncos got Aaron Rodgers, And the Broncos, with a guy with a personality like Nathaniel Hackett, just said to the NFL, hey, we'd love to be on Hard Knocks. I'd be stunned if the Broncos weren't on Hard Knocks.
Oh, no, it would be a no-brainer. It would be a guarantee. However, the only way it would happen is if the owner said, we're doing this. And we don't currently have an owner, so that's not going to happen.
Only, Richie, what's going on? There's, what's the deal?
So based on that criteria, the criteria that we already laid out, there are only three teams in the NFL this upcoming season who are eligible to be forced to be on Hard Knocks.
Who are they?
The Detroit Lions, New York Jets, and the Carolina Panthers.
Who would you find the most interesting?
Wait, Jets, Panthers, and sorry, who was the first one?
Lions.
Lions, without a doubt.
Because of the coach.
Yeah, just because of the coach. Yeah. I mean, you're telling me you don't want to see behind the scenes with
Dan Campbell? We're going to buy a kneecap off?
Yeah.
Of course I want to see that. I mean, I'll eat that up all day.
Rule would be kind of interesting.
No, it'd be terrible. College coach, by far the most unentertaining.
A lot of personality out there in Carolina. No? You don't think so?
Uh-uh. What personality?
You don't think Rule's got a lot of personality?
No.
Boy, he killed in his opening press conference.
Well, I just know some stuff behind the scenes that I guess makes me a little...
Don't forget, if it's a train wreck, it's good TV.
Nah, I get it.
There's a difference between like being a great football coach and the Housewives of Orange County.
Well, I'll tell you this. It is a train wreck behind the scenes.
That is good TV.
I'm with you. I hear you. I mean, Matt Rhule, it's a train wreck. It's like he threatens coaches like during the middle of the day. Like, hey, if you don't get this figured out right now, I'm going to fire you today.
Sign me up.
Yeah, it is like Urban Meyer.
There's no doubt, and I've watched every episode, the best last chance you was that football coach in Independence, Kansas, who was off his rocker. He was a nut, but it was ridiculously entertaining.
All right, I feel you.
That's like Robert Saleh to me. He's just got his act together. Zach Wilson's looks like a pretty boring guy. To me, the Jets would just, be kind of boring. Carolina, that could be kind of funny.
Nah, Dan Campbell.
But then Dan Campbell would probably be in the spirit of the show.
It'd be by far the most entertaining.
So they could force Dan Campbell.
Now, there's just nothing interesting about their team. I mean, all they have is Dan Campbell, but you're not interested in Jared Goff. You're not interested. I mean, they're not even going to select a QB. They've got a top pick this year.
I know this for a fact. The Broncos, which bums me out, have despised throughout the past decade the thought of being on Hard Knocks. I know that for a fact. They've never wanted to be on Hard Knocks.
Football ops will never, ever choose to be on Hard Knocks. Comes from people that get checks. It comes from the people that make money.
This guy's like, no coaches want Rex Ryan, dude.
Let's go to eat a snack.
No, I don't even think Rex Ryan would want it. I know what you're saying. I get it. He likes himself. He thinks he's funny. He's got funny jokes.
I hate Drew Locke.
He talks about feet.
You think John Gruden hated being on Hard Knocks? Come on.
Head over your head.
Yeah, I heard you. John Gruden. I'm just thinking of some of the good Hard Knocks. Oh, but the coach is a huge part of it.
I mean, that would be the only selling point for the Lions. I don't know what selling point the Panthers would have. I mean, outside of the dysfunction inside the coaching staff.
Did you watch Hard Knocks in season with the Colts?
Yeah, I watched it.
What'd you think overall?
I thought it was good. I mean, I was interested. I like the preseason stuff more personally. I heard a lot of people say the opposite. I think you were had that opinion as well. I personally find the storylines of just nothing can replicate the drama of making the team, of the underdog guy that everybody's starting to fall in love with, that, every now and then he makes it, but the majority of the time he gets cut, but you fall in love with the guy. I think you can't replicate that in season.
I actually agree. However, Hard Knocks has softened on that quite a bit. In the beginning, it was like brutal.
Well, I always laugh.
But in later episodes, they really backed off. It's kind of like American Idol got a little bit nicer.
Look, I know I'm Mount Plumas and everything, and everybody thinks I'm like perfect. I know you guys think that, all right? You don't have to tell me if you don't. I know you think
everybody thinks
but
that.
But I've been cut once or twice. Once or twice, I got cut or I got traded. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I got cut, I never had the experience on Hard Knocks where the head coach sits down with you for 10 minutes and tells you how much he loves you and all the good and all the bad. No, the only coach I ever did that with was Dan Quinn, and we did talk for 45 minutes after I got cut. But every other experience, man, it's as business as it could possibly get. Tyler, thank you for everything you've done. If we could ever help you, please tell your agent to call us.
Like Moneyball.
We need the playbook. And then
look at the hustle by Columbus.
Yeah, matter of fact, when I got cut by Denver, my third year, I got cut by Denver. I was in my hometown. In my hometown, I was a starter the year before. I get cut. I meet with Brian Zanders. He tells me, like, hey, thanks, move on, whatever.
Well, see you later.
My positional coach told me, yeah, basically, that's pretty much what he said.
That
yeah.
is so harsh. Yeah,
no, pretty much. My positional coach spent a little bit of time with me. He's like, hey, tell your agent about Seattle, Houston, yada, yada. He spent some time with me. That was cool. But you know what happened after I left Brian Zanders' office?
No,
what? Seriously, a security guard escorts you to your locker, where you are handed a trash bag that you get to fill up your stuff. Do you get to walk around the locker room and say goodbyes? Yeah, you can, but guess who's walking right by you? The security guard. I'm giving hugs. I'm saying goodbye. I was starting in my hometown. Oh. I've got a security guard by my side as I'm filling up a black trash bag. That's what the real stuff is.
This is really my fault.
Work here anymore?
Big gulps, huh?
You gotta leave.
Well,
see ya.
See you later.
Wait, I'm a hometown kid. I grew up right down the road.
Well, see you later.
You know I was a fan, right? I mean, they got to do it though, because I have seen guys melt down. I have seen scary situations.
Really?
Oh yeah. I've seen really scary situations when somebody gets cut, and it's like, hey, you got to get this guy out of the building right now. Something bad is going to happen. So I do understand why they do it.
I have one more question for you about that process, as long as we're talking about it. You get your garbage bag. It's so sick. But you get the garbage. You're out there. You get in the car. Where do you go?
I mean,
really, literally. I always think that in Hard Knocks. Where are these guys going?
You want to know
going?
Where I went?
Where do you immediately drive to?
Within an hour.
Because you thought you were going to be at work all day.
Within an hour, I had picked up my wife, and I was probably at my parents' house. That's where I went, because I'm a local kid. So I went to my parents' house.
Go to your mom and dad's house.
Mom, dad, I got cut. What do I do?
Like you're back in Little League.
Oh, no, they came to me. I remember it. I remember it now. They actually came to me.
Oh,
but my parents were at my house, probably within like an hour.
All right. Great parents, but it's just like you're a little kid all over again.
Oh, yeah,
it's
totally.
Crazy.
Totally.
All right, Game Balls will do that coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, NBA notes. Z-Nagy and Bones Highland, Dizzy. Got snubbed, both of them.
What's that mean?
There is a Rising Stars game in the NBA, and they were not invited to the Rising Stars game. And Busy went on social media and said, it's all right and whatever. But you could tell he was a little upset by that. I think they were both pretty qualified guys. By the way, the reserves were announced, and no other Nuggets made the All-Star game. Not a surprise. And Jokic was obviously a starter.
I'd have to see the list. I mean, on the surface, I think that they were exciting. I don't know that I would classify them as rising stars in the NBA.
Yeah, but it's like 25 guys, though. I mean,
is it that much?
Yeah, because it's two teams.
Okay. All right. I mean, I suppose. I guess what I'm saying, though, is that it's not like we saw something spectacular out of either one of them.
I get it, but I mean, I don't know. We'd have to look it up. But out of 26 first and second year players, these two aren't good enough, neither one of them, for the top 26 guys.
By the way, sorry, a hard transition here, but sure. I'm watching the Pro Bowl on TV right now.
What's the temperature
they're doing
there?
The skills competitions. And they just had the quarterbacks up, and they were doing that typical, like, hit the targets. You've got the moving bag. You've got the stationary objects. Mac Jones was up there, and they got, like, four options that were between 5 yards and 10 yards, and he was just drilling those things.
Nice.
I mean, absolutely crushing them.
Nice.
And then he started going for the deep, big target in the end zone that was worth 4 points.
Yeah.
He took 5 cracks at it,
whiffed
all 5 times, and went back to the checkdowns and started crushing them again.
There you go.
I'm like, hey, that's a Patriots QB for you.
That's our guy. Russell Wilson's competing in dodgeball?
You should have seen the look on his face, though. When he finally gave up, he's like, all right, I can't throw that thing again. He was just so sad. He went back to the checkdown, and he knew how embarrassing that was going to look.
That's pretty funny. It's in Vegas, right?
Yes, I think.
So it's like 10 degrees in Vegas? Look how...
Vegas is cold? Who knew?
Well,
Thought Vegas was always hot. It's desert.
Well, sweatshirts and hoodies.
How many stadiums are there in Vegas, by the way?
I guess there's one that... Why are they doing this outside? Well, who knows?
Hey, we talked about somebody earlier who I'm actually going to get... Easy for me to say, but I'm going to give a game ball to someone that I was talking about earlier that we are going to get on this show. Kendall Coyne Schofield.
Yes!
Not only is she still playing on the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team... But in U.S.'s big victory against Finland, they won 5-2. Kendall scored 2 goals in 64 seconds.
That is awesome.
64 seconds. Kendall got 2 goals.
That is awesome.
I shot her a text. She's going to be on the show. How do I know? Well, she hasn't responded yet, but okay. I just know that she will be on the show. So we will have a live correspondent. Oh, I heard something, though. I heard the U.S. athletes were given burner phones over there. I'm not even kidding. That's like a real thing.
What?
I'll have to talk about that one tomorrow. That's a real story. Anyways, okay. Great show, as always. Lots going on. John Davis is in again for Cecil, who's on the road. He's always scouting people, doing what he loves. John Davis, Nick Ferguson coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.